Turning God's word this morning now to read from Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 7 down to verse 16. We're continuing our wee look at Ephesians to continue learning about the Holy Spirit and who he is and who he makes us to be, as well as part of this sermon series. And we're thinking this morning about how we're equipped by God for God. So that's Ephesians chapter 4, read verse 7 down to verse 16, and that's on page 977 of the Pew Bibles, but the words will appear on the screen before you as well. So let's listen to God's word together this morning. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Amen. And may God bless us, the reading of his word this morning. We've been thinking over the last few weeks about the importance of unity. And actually, as we journey through chapter 4 of Ephesians, we see the importance of unity, and actually how Paul kind of does this kind of tops and tails things of unity. The unity is like the bread and the sandwich that he's making. And then in the middle of this, we have a filling, which is kind of gifts that God has given to us as individuals. But on either side of that, he is speaking about unity, the importance of unity we cannot get away from in these verses. Unity, like I said, is like the bread in verses 1 to 16. It tops and tails, it starts and finishes with unity. And in the middle of this, we have this important point that Paul is making, which speaks about the gifts that God gives his people to equip us. But as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, unity doesn't mean uniformity. Just because we are united in Jesus doesn't mean that we are all the same. Actually, we're all different. We all have different things that we like and dislike and preferences and everything in between. But actually, what we see here is that Paul speaks about the differences that we have, these gifts that God gives us, but he reminds us that the importance of unity should not be forgotten. Why? Because I think actually that we're human. And often what we do is we think about, who am I? What can I do? What are my gifts? And as we do that, actually, we then stop looking at us as a body and we start focusing on ourselves. And actually, the conversation about the gifts God gives us as individuals needs to happen in the parameters of unity. That's what we see here in Ephesians chapter 4. That actually what unites us is far greater than what makes us different. We mentioned three binding unities, three uniting common themes that we see here in the first 16 verses of Ephesians chapter 4. We see this common belief that we have, that actually there is a truth that we hold to as followers of Jesus. A truth we believe in that is unchanging, that is solid, that is firm. It doesn't shift, it doesn't change depending on what culture or context or time or decade it finds itself in. The truth is the truth. It is a common belief that the people of God hold to, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is truth. There are foundational things that make us the bride of Christ that we cannot take or leave, that they are just truth. There is a common faith that we are being saved by the same mechanics, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ's death and resurrection that unites us. There is no other way to be saved. We are all united by putting our faith in Jesus. That is the only way that anyone can be saved, is by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a common faith that we hold to. And actually, it is the same for all of us, that we are saved through that way. And then also we saw this common care, that actually that there is a call and there is a fruit from the common belief and the common faith that we have that leads us to common care, that we love one another, that actually we care for each other. And those three binding unities that we find in these 16 verses from Ephesians 4 are three pillars that the church should be built upon: common belief, common faith, and common care. So why is it so important that Paul is speaking about unity and he's kind of laboring this point? Because actually he knows that as he goes on to speak about the gifts that we have as God's people, that actually the danger with it is that the musicians gather with the musicians, the preachers gather with the preachers, the prophetic people gather with the prophetic people, those that have the healing ministries go and gather with the healing ministries, and actually before we know it, we have silos all over the place. But what Paul is saying is, no, be united in Jesus and use the gifts that he gives you as the body in the way that they are intended to. There is a danger to begin to separate and split when we start to look at gifts. I wonder who's like me. Oh, they're like me. I'll go be with them. And that's not what it's meant to be about. That actually it's meant to be lived as a family together, united. It is the framework and the parameters that Paul gives us when he's speaking about gifts here. And you can see how that works, because actually when we begin to focus on our passions and the gifts that we have, it is so easy to go, actually, do you know what? I don't understand Ian. I don't understand musicians. I don't understand when he leads worship. I don't know what he's doing. So actually, I'm not even going to go bother with him. I'll go find someone that is like me, because actually it's easier to get along with them or easier to understand them. But that's not what the Bible says. Actually, we're to be together, to be united in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sorry for using you, Ian, as an example. Most of us understand who you are, don't worry. So you can see how that, the danger of what happens there. We begin to focus, all right, who's like me? I'll go be with them. And actually, we're to be united in these common things, these common unities that Paul speaks about here. And Paul says that actually, that when we get this unity stuff right, when we journey together as family, when we do this right and properly, what we see is that God has given gifts to his church that actually will prosper us as a body. It will bless us. That actually, it will grow the church. The church will grow as the people of God use their gifts united together in Jesus Christ. And what we see here is, in these verses, that where unity is eagerly maintained, remember, strive after it, fight for unity, fight for it. That actually when that happens, and when we use the gifts that God has given us as the people of God, the church blossoms, it grows. Paul says in verse 7, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. And what Paul means here, what grace means here, is the ability to perform the task that God has called us to. That's what grace means here. The ability to perform a task that God has called us, that God has called you to. We see similar language in Romans 12, which we'll get to in a wee while. But we see the same kind of language being used about this grace being given. It is the ability God has given you as a child of God, as a person, as a follower of Jesus, as a lover of Jesus. God has given you in Christ the ability to perform the task that he's calling you to perform. His point is this, that each one of us as God's people have received from God this enabling grace exactly how he intended for us to receive it. Now, we don't all get the same gifts because we're all unique. We're all different. But actually, we're united in Jesus. When you receive Christ, when you become a born-again follower of Jesus, God gives you all that you need to be who he has made you to be. So Becca was speaking about this morning, ordinary people. But actually, see, when we add God into the mix, we're capable of extraordinary things. I love that verse, but it talks about the foolish things of this world. My teachers would tell you there was no more foolish than Norman Afferin in the Nicholson Institute. That was me. They can't believe what I do now. I can't believe what I do now. But I only do it because God has given me the grace to be able to do it, the ability to do it. Any of you who truly know me know I'm actually quite a nervous person. I get very anxious. I don't like speaking in public. I really don't. It stresses me out. It takes a great deal for me to do it. But God has equipped me to be able to do it. So I do it to glorify him. God has equipped you. He has given you the grace that you need. He has enabled you to do what he's called you to do. And I ask you this question this morning. Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? Because the Bible tells us that he does. And that's not just to go to heaven. That's amazing. But actually, we've got stuff to do here on earth at the moment. He's called you to serve him here. Now, actually, what I think happens is, and especially, it's not just the Church of Scotland, but I would say kind of Presbyterian churches in general, we have kind of limited this a wee bit. Actually, this what we're speaking about this morning, what Paul is speaking about this morning, kind of jars with the way that we structure the Church of Scotland. Because historically, what it's been is it's been one man, and he does it all. You come and you get ministered to. That's not how the Bible is. That's not how it's meant to be. That actually, what we see here is that people, God does call people, but they're there to not just to spoon feed people, but to equip them so that they can be all who God has called them to be, to use the gifts that God has given them. That actually, there should be no armchair Christians in the kingdom of God. It's not a spectator sport. You're meant to get involved. Your feet should have some mud on them as you go and serve, as you go and get busy for Jesus. Every single follower of Jesus has received a serving grace from Jesus. We all have a part to play in his church, in his body. And again, Paul points to unity, the importance of the unity of the Spirit in particular, when we start to begin to speak about us having our own part to play. Why? Because we then forget that we're connected to this bigger thing, this bigger body, and we can go off in our own direction. But what we see is that the unifying source for the gifts that God receives, that actually the gifts that we get, even that, there's a unifying element to it because it all comes from the same source, and it's Jesus. It's one source. And what Paul does is, and it sounds a wee bit clumsy and maybe a wee bit confusing for us as we read it through 8 down to verse 10. What Paul is speaking about here when he's speaking about ascended on high and descended and all these things, what he's speaking about is the incarnation. When Jesus came from heaven to earth, when he descended here to earth. But actually, he didn't stay here. What happens is he ascends, he goes back, he goes to be victorious and take his seat in his heavenly coronation. That's what the ascension is. And as Jesus ascends back to heaven, what we read is that he does that so, at the end of verse 10, that he might fill all things. And then we begin to think, well, how does that take place? What did Jesus do? When Jesus was going back to heaven, what did he say to his disciples? Wait in the upper room. Why? Because I'm going to send someone for you. He's the helper. He's the advocate. He's the one who's going to empower you to be everything and all that God has called you to be as the church. Wait for him, and he will come and he will fill you. And we see in the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, as they gather and as they're waiting, why were they waiting? They already knew what they needed to go and say. They waited because they didn't have the equipping yet. They didn't have the empowering factor in that. They had to wait. And what we see in Acts 1 and Acts 2, and in Joel chapter 2, we read this prophetic word hundreds of years before, where we read through the prophet, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Jesus was incarnated. He came to earth. He died. He rose. He conquered the grave. He ascends back to heaven. He's victorious. He takes a seat at the right hand of God the Father, forever interceding for his people. And what we read is that as that's happening, he says to his followers, wait for me. Wait for my spirit, which I will pour out upon you, and he will empower you, and he will equip you so that you can do all that I've made you to do and all that I've called you to be. And friends, the waiting is done. We have his spirit. And it's time for the church to arise. And as Jesus ascends to heaven, he bestows these most amazing abundance of gifts upon his people. And not only that, he gives us the power to be able to use them as well. I don't know about you, but as a parent, there are lots of things that annoy me as a parent. But this is, if I was going to do my top five, I think this would probably be up there. One of the things that really irritates me as a parent is that when people give my children a gift that they've given, and I love that they've blessed them with a gift, that's not the bit that annoys me, but when they give a gift to my children and you open it and it says, you need batteries for it, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and you don't have the batteries for it, and your wee one's sitting there looking, going, I want to play with this, and you're like, I know you do, and you've got everything you need apart from the power, you can't play with it yet. And I didn't realize how much that irritated me and how much it wound me up until there's a couple who are absolute legends, and whenever they give my children gifts, they include the batteries in it. It is absolutely amazing, and it is one of these things that made me feel very old, that I now have a battery drawer in my house just in case. But actually, the present that they give my children, they include the batteries with it. It's amazing. It's so simple, but it's so effective. And see, the amazing thing about God is not only does he give you the gift, he gives you the power that you need to use it. He's given you the gift, and he's given you the empowerer, and his name is the Holy Spirit. And what we do, friends, is we need to reclaim spiritual language, because we are a spiritual people. This is not about religious observance. God has given us his Holy Spirit. You are filled with him if you are in Christ this morning. And one of the things that we see through the book of Acts, and it is my prayer, it is my desire, it is my longing, when we see the book of Acts, not only do they go and proclaim about the goodness and the power of God, they demonstrate the power of God. And we have lost the demonstration. We're still proclaiming it. Praise the Lord for that. And never lose that. Never forget the importance of proclaiming who God is with our mouths and using words to ascribe to his greatness and his splendor and his glory. But actually, he's given us gifts. Why? So we can demonstrate his power as well. And we've lost that as the church. But here's the amazing thing. The gifts are still here. They're here. Because God has said in his word, he's already given them to his people. And we need to call them out. And we need to see them being used once again. And Paul, in verse 11, he lists what's known nowadays as apes, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. And that is as part of this gift that God has given to the church. And in some ways, he's pointing at gifts that he's bestowed in kind of a leadership capacity in verse 11. And the reason we see verse 11, he gave, and then in verse 12, the next two words is what? Why did he give them? The purpose of them being given is the very beginning of verse 12. It wasn't to moderate or to monitor or to keep in line the people of God. It is to equip. To see the body of Christ raised up to be all who the body of Christ has been called to be. To equip the saints, to equip the body, to equip God's people for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. I've preached on APEST before, so we're not going to go into it this morning, but you can go look back on the YouTube channel if you want to find that from Ephesians 4. But actually, as part of this gifts that God gives us, actually Paul lists in other places different lists. So let's hopefully turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These are other spiritual gifts that God has given to his church. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. And do you see the unifying source? They all come from the same fount. It is the Spirit of God. Then later on in 1 Corinthians 12, and I think it's in verse 28 to 30, we have these words. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, then helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, to all work miracles. And the point is, no, we're all different. But we have the same Spirit. And then in Romans, we also have another list that Paul gives to his church in Romans 12, having gifts that differ. Again, see the difference that we are as God's people according to that's the word grace again, the enabling ability that God has given us. Let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And the point of this, that God has given an abundance of gifts to his church. And I ask you this question, how many of them are we seeing present in our church today? Not just in Sandy Hills, but in the church in general. We've lost them. It's time we reclaim them because God has given them to us for a purpose, to equip the people of God for the ministry and mission of God. And we do this thing that when we start to speak about gifts, we begin to try and get back into our comfort zone because there can be something a wee bit uncomfortable in dealing with stuff that is a wee bit unknown to us. I mean, when we speak about gifts, we think, oh, well, do you know, I'm good with tech. I'm good with money. I'm good at playing the keyboard. I make a mean curry. And we begin to try and think about gifts in a natural way. And actually, what we see is these are all fruit of spiritual gifts that God has given to his church. Service. Many of us serve, and it's an amazing gift to have, but there are so many other gifts that God has given to his church. And actually, our responsibility as we lead this place is to call them out and to see you use them for the building up of the people of God in Sandy Hills Parish Church. We go back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, because he's given us gifts to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. See, when we do this united, see, when we use the gifts God has given us, we have a promise here that actually the body of Christ is built up. It grows and it is healthy. Maybe you're sitting here this morning thinking, what's my gift? What's God given me? Ask him. Pray. Ask him, what's he given you? And what we want to see happen here is a place united in Jesus, where lovers of Jesus can faithfully serve Jesus by the gifts given to us by Jesus. And just as we wrap up this morning, Paul shows us the purpose in verses 11 and 12. There is a reason for this. So I ask you the question, why would we not do it? We want to grow as a church. Here is the way that we see the body of Christ being built up, through the equipping. He talks about these APEST, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, these gifts of leadership that he's given to the church. But actually, what we see is that verse 11, and often the way that we think about leadership in our world is we think about it negatively. We think about leadership in a very negative way nowadays, because it actually, what we think of is those that restrict or those that control. That's not what this is. That's not what godly leadership looks like. This isn't oppressive. Biblical leadership should allow others to grow and flourish in all that God has called them to be. And I want to finish this morning by asking you to imagine a triangle. And the way that we've done church here in the West has been that at the very pinnacle of that triangle is often the leadership structure. That's the way, sadly, that it's been put together, that we have the leaders at the top. But actually, what we see through Ephesians chapter 4 is that should be upside down, that actually the leadership's at the bottom. And the way it should build, and it should allow people to grow and flourish in all that God has called them to be. So as the church, I'm not just talking here in Sandy Hills, but as the church, we need to stop controlling and start discipling. We need to see people being who God has called them to be. For what we see in Scripture is that God gives his people gifts, and God has blessed the church with leadership that should allow those who are gathering, who are born again followers and lovers of Jesus, to use the gifts that God has given them for the building up of the body of Christ. When I first came to Sandy Hills, we went on an elders' day away. And one of the exercises we did was we tried to kind of imagine what's not yet. And that can be quite a hard thing to do, and we called it blue sky dreaming. As we did that, I can't remember, was it maybe February 2019? That's probably around about then. We thought about what are some of the things that we want to see as the church in Sandy Hills. And amazingly, actually, a lot of what we spoke about is now happening, which is amazing. We talked about wanting to have live streaming, you know, and we didn't know down the line COVID was going to happen. That was going to happen a lot sooner. We talked about wanting to see a worship band. We're seeing that beginning to be built up, which is amazing. But one of the comments that was made was we looked at kind of next year, 5 years, 10 years' time. And one of the comments was made that, and it was in jest, I won't be here in 10 years' time. But the church will be. This place, God willing, will be here ministering to this community for much longer than 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And our responsibility is to disciple those who are gathering, equipping and allowing others to grow and use their gifts. And one of the biggest resistances to this that I've seen is pride, and the second is insecurity. And the insecurity comes from our identity being in the wrong place. Your identity should never be in your gifting. Your identity is a child of God, a follower of Jesus. Knowing that Jesus loves me, this I know. If I made my identity, I'm a preacher, it's what I do. What happens if I lose my voice? I can't do it. But actually, my identity is, even before everything else I do, is that I'm a child of God and he loves me. These gifts are already here because we are a people of the Spirit. And I pray to God that we see them being used for the glory of God in this place. Amen.